I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You notice twice here, Paul mentioned he learned how to be content. And the word learned here, it means learned by experience. It also means initiated into the secret. This word was used by the pagan religions with reference to their inner secrets. They taught that through their false teaching, apart from Christ and the gospel and the Word of God, that you could have this inner secret knowledge if you follow this. So that same word is then, Paul uses it, not by accident, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's learned it, and he provided the secret through the Word of God, through Christ, of how to be content. How to be content. Ever thought about just on a regular week or a month or a year, do you find yourself more often you're content or are you discontented? You're not satisfied. You're not satisfied with who you are in Christ. You're not satisfied with what God has provided for you. You're not satisfied with your home life. You're not satisfied with your job. You're not satisfied with what you ate for dinner. How often do you find yourself really content in Christ compared to being discontent? Because if we're honest, all of us experience times of being discontent. We all struggle with that. This is why we struggle with not able to rejoice always. This is why we struggle with anxiety and worry. It's why we struggle with not experiencing the peace of God, because we're not content in our circumstances. We are like the thermometer, allowing those circumstances to dictate our mood, our relationship with God, our relationship with others. If we're grumpy, if we're complaining, or if we're rejoicing. Paul learned to be content. And that's encouraging. Because you study the life of Paul and all the things he went through, that was for his good. Through those experiences, through those difficult circumstances, he learned contentment. It goes on to say, not only in difficult circumstances, he's learned in whatever situation, when he was brought low, when he had plenty, when he was hungry, when he was in need. It didn't matter. He understood that. He wasn't a thermometer. He needed to be that thermostat and allow these circumstances to control his relationship with God and the contentment and the peace that God wants us to experience as believers in Christ. Many believers have learned how to be content in need. This is what I mean by that. Because when we're in need, many times we will run to God, right? With that problem, and we'll depend upon Christ to get us through that problem. A lot of times when we have plenty, we sometimes struggle more with the plenty experiencing contentment than we do when we're in need. Just depends on the circumstance, I understand that. You know, I have unsaved family members that have plenty materially, but they are not content. they are not content. Because without Christ, anything this world offers, any pleasure of sin, it's for a season, it's short-lived, it's not eternal, it doesn't sustain us. It doesn't matter what you accumulate materially or what experiences you have, without Christ, you cannot experience the contentment that only He offers. You just can't. It's not possible. God has created us to be in a relationship with Him. And until you come to Christ, that relationship is not there. You are dead in your sin and your trespasses. You're lost. You don't know God. You're not content. You'll never be satisfied. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how many resources you have, how many things you experience, where you go, what you do. Without Christ, you'll never, ever, ever be satisfied. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Our contentment, the only source, is Christ. We rely on His providence. We rely on the unfailing power of God. The Bible does have a lot to say about contentment, doesn't it? Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing." In essence, Jesus is telling us, don't worry, be content with what you have. He goes on to say in verses 32 and 33, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek God, seek Christ, live for Him, and let God take care of all the rest. Be content in Christ. Through trial and testing, Paul was initiated into the wonderful secret of contentment in spite of poverty or prosperity. He learned it. He learned it by experience. He had to go through things to learn to be content. And he could look back and he was so thankful that God put him through those circumstances to bring him to this place of contentment. Listen to these verses from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Contentment in Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Doesn't matter what man does to you. He can't take away your salvation. You're in Christ. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. You will be glorified. Nothing's going to change that. Why are we anxious? Why are we worrying? Why are we not content when we have every reason to rejoice? 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." You ever heard the phrase, "He with the most toys wins"? Maybe you've seen it on a bumper sticker. Maybe you just heard it. Unfortunately, that is the philosophy of many. This accumulate, accumulate, accumulate. Not only material things, but status, this promotion, this experience. Then you're winning in life. That's just the opposite of what Scripture tells us. That does not bring contentment. That does not bring satisfaction. I want to give you some statistics here. When the latest global statistics shows that if one has a roof over his head and a meal on his table, he is richer than 93% of the world's population. If a person wears a pair of shoes, he is richer than 75% of the people in the world. However, in the United States alone, credit card debt averages more than $16,000 per household, and we are still discontented. Money does not bring contentment. Things does not bring contentment. Solomon, considered the wisest and richest man who ever lived, he said in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." Now in 1 Timothy 6:17, God does tell us He provides everything for us to richly enjoy. So if God's whatever God's provided you with, you're not running after material things. God's provided those things to you to enjoy, to use for His glory, to provide for others. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's our perspective towards material things. And this is when we experience discontentment. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All things through Him who strengthens me. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret by Dr. and Mrs. Howard Taylor illustrates this principle of inner power in the life of a great missionary to China. For many years, Hudson Taylor worked hard and felt that he was trusting Christ to meet his needs, but somehow he had no joy or liberty in his ministry. Then a letter from a friend opened his eyes to the adequacy of Christ. "It is not by trusting my own faithfulness, but by looking away to the faithful one," he said. This was a turning point in Hudson Taylor's life. Moment by moment, he drew on the power of Christ for every responsibility of the day. Not in his own strength, but through the power of God. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What a great source of contentment, the power of God in our lives. Jesus says in John 15 that He is the vine, we are the branches. A branch is good only for bearing fruit. Otherwise, you might as well burn it. The branch does not bear fruit on its own by self-effort. Doesn't happen. But by drawing on the life of the vine. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 15, verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I am him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." That is doing all things through Him who strengthens us. I want to close. Turn my Bible and turn your Bible as well to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to close with these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but I struggle with hardships and insults. I'm not always content. In fact, many times I find myself discontented during difficult times. But Paul understood the secret of contentment, that through those difficult times, as he is weak, he's relying on Christ for strength. And Christ provides in a miraculous way to provide the strength that we need to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, to be able to rejoice always in the Lord, to not worry, and to be content in Christ. What a powerful testimony that is to a lost world when believers are living their lives in such a way that it is evident that you are satisfied with knowing Christ. He's your Savior and your God. You know where you're heading. So all these circumstances, you view them through that lens that you will be glorified one day. You're justified, you're sanctified, you're going to be glorified. And knowing that, not just up here, but it's a part of your inner being. It's controlling your thoughts and your heart and your mind. You are able to be content. And as you go through those difficult times, you're able to rejoice. Instead of worrying, you're trusting in the providence of God to work all those things out for good, to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. We sang earlier, complete in Christ, complete in Thee. I want to ask everyone a question. We hear it on the news. It's all around us. People die every day. Some what we call natural deaths, it's just they're at an old age and their body just gives out. We all die of something. It could be what we call tragic deaths, a car accident, an early death of cancer. But we do know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then there's judgment. And the judgment is applied to anyone who rejects Christ. Anyone. Christ is the only way to be forgiven, to have a relationship with Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It's through His shed blood, His sacrifice on the cross, because He was the only one that died for your sin. No one else. No one else could. Only the sinless Savior, the Son of God, who took upon human flesh, and then went to a cross to die for you, to die for me, to die for the world. He provided the only way to be saved. Apart from Christ, you're lost. Apart from Christ, you have no eternal life. In fact, Scripture is very clear. without Christ, you're headed to the lake of fire, to hell. That's what's at stake here. It's not a game we're playing. It's life and death. Eternal life or eternal death. Christ provided a way to be saved. In fact, there's no other name given unto men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ could do it. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today can be your day of salvation. It's your choice. You accept Christ or you reject Him. But it's my responsibility, not only as a pastor, but just as a child of God, to share with you what's at stake. Eternal life and glory forever and ever, without sin, without destruction, without disease. Or eternal death, separation from God in the lake of fire. That's what's at stake here. It's not a game. It's life and death. We find Paul shedding tears over lost souls. Oh, that we would have that burden and that heart as well for our lost neighbors, our lost family members, our lost co-workers. If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, today can be your day of salvation. Put your faith in Him and Him alone. Cry out to Him for forgiveness of sin. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. It is sufficient. When we are struggling, when we are weak, when we are going through difficult circumstances, as we rely upon Your grace, we are strengthened. Your power rests upon us. What a promise. What a wonderful truth, knowing that all the circumstances we go through, difficult, pleasant, it's all because of Your providence, and it's all working out for good to conform us to the image of Christ. We thank You for all that You have done for us, all that You are doing for us, and all that You promise to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand. Have a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come. Just come.